Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, you can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Later this hour, Tony Massenburg is going to join us, Wizards studio analyst for NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk about the Wizards' future as they did not land the number one pick in the lottery. But joining us right now, as he does every Wednesday at this time, the president of baseball ops, general manager of the Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
You know, Hello, Mike. We need to make this the last week. We said we were going to do this a while ago. We wanted to change your walk-up song. You wanted to change up your walk-up song. Why haven't we done so? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, maybe if you change the walk-up
song. You guys
song,
need to come up with some ideas
so
for me.
Give us some bands you like.
I will come up with some ideas because he's a Chicago guy. I'm going to focus on some Chicago area bands, artists, and I'll pick one.
How about Chicago?
Is that Pearl Jam? No, they're from Seattle.
No, they're not from
Eddie
Vedder.
My attentions have been elsewhere, so yeah, help me out here.
Mike, why don't we just do anything by Chicago? That'll be your walk-up band.
That sounds great. Let's pick me something. We need to change something up.
Yeah, we do.
What can we do here? What can you do as a general manager, Mike? You know, in your mid-season like this, everybody wants you to just fire the manager. But short of that, what sort of things can you do to tweak this?
Hey, I think my job is to support and to motivate and to allow these guys to get better and improve the product on the field and to play better. We've been stricken by some injuries. There's no doubt about that. I mean, since Rendon went down, I think we're like seven and we're playing like 320 ball since our 2, 3, 4, 5 and Matt Adams went down. So we're starting to get a couple of guys back. You see Rendon starting to really get a little bit more comfortable in the play. Juan Soto's back. We got Trey, he's rehabbing in the minor league, so he's, on the horizon and shouldn't be too far away. And that's going to be a huge impact for us. You're talking about one of the best two-way players in the game. He locks down our defense in the most important position on the infield and kind of the captain of the defense and also gives you a great offensive performance at the plate. So, he's been a huge loss. Let's not forget, we've had him for a total of four games this season. So we're excited to get him back and to kind of get whole and to see what transpires after that and see what type of team we really have and see if we can get a little bit of momentum. I'm not going to insult the intelligence of everybody listening, the fan base and everybody else to say, hey, things are rosy and things are great right now. No, they're not. They're terrible. It's the worst we've played probably, since we coming off expansion type of a roster. So we've got a long way to go, man. We've got to play a lot better baseball and we've got to win games and we got to get back to learning how to win. We walk in that ballpark every day. I always say, you guys heard me say it a million times. We put a guy on the mound that gives us a chance to win each and every day. And over the last 7 years, we're one of three teams that have had a 500 or better record. It's hard to believe, but that's true. We're one of three teams in the last 7 years that have been 500 or better. We averaged 91 or 92 wins over the last seven seasons. We won division titles. We expect to win each and every day when we walk in that ballpark. I certainly do. I know the staff does, and I know the players in the clubhouse do. We got to get back to that attitude and that mindset because when you go in here, you need to expect to win in the big leagues. You can't play not to lose. You can't play tight. You can't play tentative. And this is the big leagues. And I don't care if you're a utility player playing every day. We throw you into roles that you're not comfortable with. You know, double plays got to be double plays. Mm-hmm. Cutoff men got to be hit. Base running's got to be clean. You've got to put together good at bats. And until you do that, and until you get that mindset that you expect to win each and every day, you're going to continue to struggle no matter who's on the roster. Now, it helps to have your good players, your all-star caliber players in the lineup because that's how we built this team. We're slowly getting that back into fruition.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question. I'll just kind of follow up. So last night in the first inning when Defoe can't make the throw that pulled Parr off the bag and, you know, you guys would have been out of the inning, obviously we know what happens after that. Do you chalk that up as, you know, just playing tight defensively, trying to press, or do you chalk that up as, you know, that's a backup player, a utility player, he's going to make mistakes like that if he's forced to play every day?
Benny, he's playing out of, we're expecting him to carry the load of that maybe he's not capable of playing. He's a solid defender at shortstop and at second base. It's a play he's made each and every day. I don't want to focus on one player and one play. There are plenty of plays and players to go around that haven't that we've made a lot of mistakes on the bases. Offensively, we haven't been offensive efficient and that type of thing. We just have to get back into the mindset of how we get back into this mindset of expecting to win each and every game, playing with the intelligence and the attitude that we're we're a championship caliber organization and we certainly are in a situation where there's urgency to win games. We do have 122 games left, but I'm certainly not. We're 8 games out, so I'm certainly not going to say that it's early because it's not early. We got to start playing better. But when I look at the teams we're chasing, and the Phillies and the Braves and the Mets, we're certainly capable of playing with them and beating them. We beat over the last 7 years, we're 82-59 against the Phillies and 84-54 against the Mets. So we're certainly capable of beating those guys. We've been beating them for 7 years. We hope to continue to beat them when we get a lot of our guys back. And we just have to play with that mindset and that attitude that we're the better team and we're expected to win. And in Washington, D.C., we've built something here that the expectations are high. I'm not settling on lowering my expectations. My expectations are still win this division, the National League East, which is a tough division. It's going to be nip and tuck the whole way and go deep into the playoffs. I think we have the roster when healthy to do so. And I think that we have the personnel to be a really competitive team in the National League. So that's my expectations. That's my thought process. And obviously, a lot of things we have to play a lot better baseball than we are right now to achieve that.
Right, so, by Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, as we go in the clubhouse, president of baseball ops. Just an update. What's going on with Trevor Rosenthal? I guess he's at AA now. How's he pitching?
Mm-hmm. He threw an inning last night. His velocity was up. He got through his inning and he walked two, I think struck out two and didn't give up a run. He's starting to improve his mechanics. That was his second outing there. We've got a plan in place for him to go multiple innings, then some back-to-backs, and see if we can get him on track to help us in the big league soon.
What about this crazy stat that you guys are like 1-12 in series openers? What do you make of that?
I don't know what to make of it yet. We're doing some analysis of it right now. I think that it's first days of series are often the busiest day of the preparation for that series. We do all of our advanced reporting and we have all of our pitching and hitting meetings and that type of thing. We're looking to streamline, some of those processes and those meeting times and that type of thing and do something a little different. I just think it could be coincidental on who you're facing that day and that type of thing. But we're looking into it and seeing if there's any tweaks that we can make in our preparation that allow us to win that first game of the series. Because, if you don't win the first game of the series, obviously it curtails your chances of winning the series. And that's what we're that's our goal is to win each and every series.
Hey, Mike, have you personally had a like a team meet, like a kick in the ass meeting with the players, or do you leave that up to Davey?
That's the manager's job. That's the coaching staff's job. I know they had a team meeting just recently in Milwaukee, and I was around, and I did not attend the meeting. Purposely didn't attend the meeting. That's their clubhouse, and that's their sanctum, and they've got to figure it out between themselves. And I'm there for support. I'm always around. They know where to find me. I'm very accessible, and I communicate with the players a lot. But those type of things are best laid for the managers and the coaching staff and the players to kind of figure it out for themselves.
Got it. What's kind of perplexing? I mean, I know you know all the numbers. I'm just going to throw them out there, but. You guys are batting 199 in the month of May. Obviously, that coincides with some of the injuries. But what's kind of perplexing to me is the number of strikeouts as a team. You guys are in the top three right now in strikeouts, just not putting the ball in play. I'm guessing you guys are averaging about 10 strikeouts a game. I could be wrong on that number. But why is that? What are you seeing? Is that something that you guys can work on, before a game? What exactly are you seeing on film? What's the answer to the strikeout issue?
Well, I think it's a drastic contrast from where we've been in the last couple of previous seasons. It was a point of emphasis that we made when we put together the roster. We wanted to be a more offensive, efficient team. We needed to do the little things to be more offensive, efficient, to score runs without the home runs. So I think that the strikeout number is alarming. It's something that we preach two-strike approach. We preach that we need to put the ball in play. We need to give ourselves a chance, and we don't have that 40-45 home run type of guy on the roster. So we have to be more efficient and utilize our at bats more. We can't count on the 3-run home run and that type of thing. And another part of it, I think, is the injuries. Whenever we're without our 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters and Matt Adams for an extended period of time, since Rendon went down April 20th, I think that, like I said, we're 7-15 with a .318 winning percentage with those guys out. So Rendon's back for a handful of days. He looks like he's coming around. Soto, I think, is he's back for 2 or 3 games now. I think he's going to start heating up, and we get Trey Turner back, and hopefully down the road Zim and Matt Adams, and we could take a hard look at what we're at and see if we can get some momentum and start winning games. And I look back at this team and this roster, to me, it's a championship caliber roster when we're healthy and when we're playing well. And we just haven't played well throughout the early portion of the season this year. And we've got to find ways to win until we get all our guys back.
Mike, what's the estimated timeline for Turner's rehab stint in Potomac?
We've got him scheduled. We're going to take a look at him after Thursday's after his game on Thursday and see where he's at as far as how the finger feels and what he's done. He had 4 good at-bats yesterday. He played full 9 innings at shortstop, made several plays in the field, made one really good backhanded play, jump throw type of thing that, he's kind of famous for. So he showed that because it's the index finger on his right hand, the throwing issue is the last thing to come. So he looked like he had good carry and good velocity on his throws. And if we continue to see that, we're just going to we'll go and reach for him and see if he can help us at the big league level. But we have to make sure that he's prepared and major league ready and ready to endure the everydayness of the major league season. Because once he gets here, we want him to play every day quite a bit. He played 162 games last year, so he's the guy who wants to play all the time, and he needs to be. Hit the ground running when he's back here and be ready to play every day.
With the back end of the rotation guys struggling a bit, are Joe Ross and Eric Fetty, like, how long would it take if you ever wanted to stretch them out again and give them some starts? How long would that process take if you wanted to go that route?
said he's not far away from being stretched out. He's probably right now capable of going, 85 to 90 pitches. So he's fairly stretched out right now. Ross would take a little bit longer because he's been a reliever a little bit longer and away from being stretched out. But it wouldn't take long for Fetty to be stretched out and Ross would take a little bit longer. But I don't see that being any kind of hindrance to give Fetty some multiple innings. He's thrown multiple innings already in the big leagues. He threw four innings not too long ago and two innings last night. So it wouldn't take too long. We really like the way Fetty looks out of the bullpen and Joe Ross. The thing is it's about throwing strikes, getting ahead of hitters, and being aggressive. And I think you saw, both guys, and actually most of the guys recently up in their tempo, working quicker, throwing more strikes, being more aggressive in the strike zone. Because in this league, they'll beat your ears back if you're 2-0, 3-1 on these type of hitters. And I think that it's shown in the early returns of the bullpen.
Yeah, Alan C. from Fairfax is banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. Alan is already taking home a $100 gift card, but if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, he'll also take home $100,000, courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game. Mike, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
New song.
We'll get Chicago
next week. Shake it up a little bit.
Why don't we we can do the Chicago
base
thing.
What are their greatest hits? They have a ton of hits. What are their greatest?
None of them are that inspiring, are they?
They're
all kind of like soft rock.
Do you have
rock-ish.
Chicago there on your?
Oh, he's got to.
Got a lot of terrible music.
Definitely
I have one. I have one Chicago song in here.
Is it like?
I don't think they're a good walk-up song.
Kinda,
Chicago.
Just kind of.
It would just be a theme. It would be a theme. I mean, we play.
I'm okay with themes.
We played Billy Joel.
So obviously, I know
for Feinstein
that Pearl Jam's from Seattle, but why do I always think Eddie Vedder in
Chicago?
He's a
Cubs fan.
Because he's a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
did
I don't know why.
Did he actually grow up in Chicago?
I don't know where he grew up.
He just watched WGN.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Mike should have suggested this.
Loser.
Beck Loser.
We're not doing that.
It is catchy.
That's Rahm's theme.
That
song.
Is Rahm. Yeah, Rahm has squatting rights on that song. He's got Rahm squat rights.
I was just looking at the 2010 draft because they just played the Brewers, right? The Brewers swept them, and Christian Yelich won the MVP last year.
Yeah,
and I was gonna maybe ask him, but I guess the Nationals didn't have an opportunity. So in 2010, they drafted Bryce Harper, number one, first round pick, first pick overall, and Yelich was drafted like in the 20s or something. I was wondering if the Nationals, like, where he had Yelich scouted. Now they didn't have another draft choice till the 51st pick. The second round, which was Sammy Solis.
Right.
Sammy Solis, second round pick. That goes to show you what the...
Well, drafts it
in exact, baseball
it's an exact science.
A.J. Cole was their fourth pick. Actually, a lot of these guys we've seen.
EB used to love A.J. Cole when he was stride up to the mound.
How's he doing?
Who would know?
Steve,
he was with the Yankees last year, end of last year, right?
Yeah, is he still in the big leagues, or is it pretty much over for him?
I haven't seen
I feel
any...
bad. I want a guy to make a living.
I don't know. I got in this whole thing where I started looking
dream.
While we're talking to him, looking at
for the Indian
the past
success.
Drafts, and then I looked at Tim Tebow's minor league stats. Has anybody seen what they are?
No.
Why would I ever look at
his
minor
league
stats?
Does he have more strikeouts than Bryce?
I was unable to see strikeouts. 29 games,
yeah.
93 at-bats,
yeah.
0 home runs,
uh-huh.
Hitting 151.
Ooh. Well, I mean, he's Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
So, that's,
I mean, he's not George Brett.
His dream is dying.
He's a silly double-A player.
Yes.
It's fine.
I don't think he's a silly double-A player.
Well, I mean, he had decent numbers, double-A.
Passable. Yeah.
Just whatever. Hey, man, I give a lot of respect to that guy. He was willing to go out there and embarrass himself.
I like the fact that he's trying. I always like that.
He's peaked.
Yeah,
he's got a big hole in his swing. It's not going to work.
Tony Massenberg is going to join us coming up at 9:40. We will talk about what the Wizards can do now that they did not get the number one pick at the ninth pick in the NBA draft. He'll join us at 9:40 on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9:40, Tony Massenburg covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington. Will join us. Wizards land the ninth pick in the NBA draft. They actually slid back.
Of course they slid back. Why would they slide back?
Isn't that typical, though? Did you expect anything else?
I don't really expect them to slide. Look, I'm a math guy, so I think they're going to slide back and slide up an equal amount of times. And I think they slid up to snag guys in the past.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously, they had a 10% chance to get Wall. Just, I don't know. There was a lot of hype and a lot of hope for them to get up to one to get
right.
Zion.
How about where they landed Otto at three? Did they move up? Was that where they were supposed to be?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. Beal was a high pick. They might have moved up. I don't remember. So we'll talk to Tony Massenburg about the Wizards coming up at 9:40. But right now we're going to open up the entertainment page, which I believe is sponsored.
Yes, it is, my friend. Sponsored by our friends at Second Chance Addiction Care, an outpatient drug and alcohol addiction center that has already helped several Junks listeners, online at secondchancecare.com. Are my headphones not working?
No, sorry. I gotta put it in. Give me 1 second.
Or dot com. Is it dot com or dot clom?
For me, it's dot com. For JP, it's dot clom.
JP, it's dot clom.
When was that?
It's an old
that might be 18 years ago.
I would love to hear that if we still have it.
We have it. Give me 1 second.
We definitely have it. I have it over here somewhere. Now I just need to find it.
It just makes me laugh.
Dot clom.
Just makes me laugh, Richie. Don't worry about it.
Of course it's funny.
I'm not.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I don't know where the EP music is.
You can't find it?
It was like right here.
How can you lose?
It's a staple.
I'm going nuts right
now. It used to be on the machine.
Just go to YouTube.
I don't have .com, but I do have this.
Brooks like. Right. Brooks like.
Yeah, we've heard that a million times. All right.
Who said that?
That's JP.
That's JP, too. It
doesn't even sound like him.
Brooks like.
That's did you say that in a commercial?
No, I think something was in my mouth. Like, I was eating, and it came out like that.
What do you have, Valdez?
I'm just telling Cakes to play from his machine.
Does he have it?
Yeah, because I'm going crazy here. I'm sorry.
I don't think I've ever played it from either of these machines. But
yes, it's on the machine. It's
Bank 3.
Bank 3, number 8, I think.
Maybe 10.
By the way, what's the weather supposed to be today?
Weather's going to be low 70s and...
So a good day to hit some balls.
Partly sunny to sunny.
Good day to hit some balls, chips, get warmed up.
Sure. Warmed up for what?
I got a couple outings coming up. Not outings, but I'm playing... I'm playing Caves with a buddy in a few weeks.
Caves.
So I want to be ready for that.
Oh, Caves is pimping.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to go out there and just play terrible.
What? Why are you shaking your head?
I think you have dementia, Caves.
No, because here's the thing. I never play the entertainment page music.
Why not?
I don't have it committed to the brain.
You used to.
It's a blind spot. People have blind spots. You don't have blind spots.
Nope.
Okay. Sorry. You're perfect.
All right, boys.
Hold on. Before you start that, here you go.
All right. I want to let people know we do have pictures of the hotties on the website and recent photos. Go to junkiesradio.com.
Come on. Is that after like a night of no sleep?
I have no idea. Who knows? It's a website.
That's four
which
out of five
is,
nights.
It's a website which hasn't been running for years, right?
I don't know. What website was it that you were promoting?
Junksradio.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have a whole...
It's like HFS days.
A whole folder called JP Speak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we go through some of it?
It could be entertaining.
It's very entertaining to me.
All right, for second place, you win a Papa John's office party. Papa John's introduces new Perfect Pan Pizza. That's right. Papa's Perfect Pan Pizza with a thick golden crust and a zesty Robusto sauce. Try a large five-topping pan pizza for $12.99.
I guess that was.
That's a silly added. That was a silly read.
That was great. I mean, that was a perfect spot. That was a perfect read.
It was well done.
All right, sorry.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Coming up later on the show, we have Mike the Mouth Matuso.
Madison.
I didn't know.
Sure. I'm not a poker guy.
You're not a poker nerd, yeah. So you're not going to know.
I mispronounced
Mike the Mouth
on the show?
On iTunes, Mike Matuso. You type in Free FM.
Yeah, why do you have Mike Matuso on?
On iTunes, you type in Free FM or WJFK. Bam, you've got a Junkies podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah. Free FM.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. It wasn't that entertaining. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They're just as cringy now as they were then. Heather Locklear's in the news again, Cakes, and not for good reason.
She's a bit of a wackadoo.
The 57-year-old former Melrose Place star apparently got into another fight with her boyfriend, and she's stuck in rehab again. How many times has this woman been in rehab?
Probably three or four.
They got
at
into
least.
A screaming match, finally cooled down after she realized she'd lost control. And she needed to head back to rehab.
Who would you rather bed? Heather Locklear or Pam Anderson?
Oh, when are we talking about? Like in their prime or right now?
No, tomorrow.
Locklear.
I feel like Pam's probably a little bit younger, though.
They're probably about the same age, right?
I'm going to say Locklear's a little older.
Locklear's 57. How old is Pam?
I'm saying she's
I would say 50.
Our age.
Yeah, I would say 50.
Doesn't she have the hep? I'm gonna go away from the hep. I'd rather go crazy.
She's at least
than the hep.
Got the hep.
At least at a minimum.
She's got a better
and
body,
I think
though,
she
right?
has worse plastic surgery.
Did Tommy Lee bang both of them?
Wasn't he married to both of them?
I think he was. I think you're right.
I think she married a bunch of rock stars. Locklear.
Yeah.
Well, and then.
Well, I heard she was. I also heard she was. Well,
Jack
she was
Wagner.
With Richie Sambora forever, and I've heard through the grapevine, gigantic hog.
You've heard
Richie?
I've heard that.
What grapevine?
In circles. I've heard
all
that.
Those rock stars got gigantic.
That's what I've heard.
Where's that grapevine?
I don't know. I just. It's something
that one
stuck
of your books?
In my.
You know what?
Maybe.
I heard, you know what I
Might
heard about
been.
Shaq? It doesn't. It's not size appropriate.
Right. It's not. It's not anatomically correct.
Right. Right.
I bet you'd still be sized.
Yeah. Of
still trade.
Yeah.
You would think, right? You would think.
All right. Can I try again with the JP speak?
Yeah.
I think
right.
I found a better one.
The giant shark head. The trombone. The astronaut memorabilia. Hit a home run on 106.7 The Fan with the broadcast sponsorship. The broadcast sponsorship by your company. Remember, 7:55, giving you a chance to join us at spring training for the Nationals spring training camp. That's coming up at 7:55. Talking to John Thompson, the third head basketball coach of the Georgetown Hoyas,
it's
number
like
11. They
sleep.
Head to Syracuse. I mean, going to this carrier dome
fine.
Might be the last time. Talk about your memories.
He did it twice.
That last one, JT3, was especially painful.
Yeah.
Talking to John Thompson, the third head basketball coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, number 11. They head to Syracuse. Going to this carrier dome might be the last time. Talk about your memories going to the carrier
Doesn't
dome.
Does that make you cringe or not really?
Yeah, but what do you
think
do?
I think it's
I mean,
written
when was that?
I don't know.
He's stringing them together. You could do the same thing for everyone.
Could have been 2 years ago.
Especially when he's pulling stuff from spots.
I think it's written in an entertaining manner and is written much better than had he just wrote, Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies today talked about his Chevy Tahoe running out of brake juice.
Brake juice.
I don't even know the context.
Well, I'm just saying.
You call it brake fluid.
It's brake juice.
Brake juice. It just shows you're donk.
All right.
Did even when you speak correctly.
Can we move on? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
I apologize. I brought up.
What are you doing? What are you doing a brake sign for? I'm trying to do my EP.
We did the
you
whole segment.
You putzed around too much.
Oh, jeez.
You got Massenburg.
You sabotaged your own EP again.
What was your top story?
Honestly, there was nothing.
That was nothing.
It was all filler.
This was a perfect day to do the dot-com.
It was the Heather Locklear story.
It was all filler. She was in rehab.
Heather Locklear's a whack job.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing.
All right,
good.
So you would rather crush Locklear?
I think so.
Locklear?
Yeah. She's got the
hep. I would do Pam.
And I think Pam's had bad plastic surgery. But I could be wrong. Like in her face. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't studied it.
Yeah, let's do side by side. I'll Google 2019 Heather Locklear.
In her prime, clearly Locklear.
Bob McElligott.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
Bob McElligott. Yeah, that was that one tripped me up, too.
I think Pam in her prime was a show. I think she'd give her a run for her money, Cakes.
The Heather Locklear that was cast in The Dirt was kind of silly. Now, that was her in her prime.
Go just Google Tommy Lee's sex tape, and then you tell me.
You think I haven't seen it?
All right, I think you need to be reminded.
It's been a while.
I think you need to be reminded.
All right, Tony Massenburg is going to join us. Wizards studio analyst for NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk Wizards, draft lottery, Zion Williamson, and more here on The Junkies.
Bob McElligott. Joined by Bob.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The number one pick in Zion Williamson. Instead, they slid back in the draft, ended up with the ninth pick. And the history of ninth picks, not great. Some decent players,
it's a mix
some
bag.
Ball stars, but more often than not, they're journeymen in the NBA.
You pretty much have to find a needle in the haystack from like nine on. You can find one or two guys each draft that are maybe all stars or, you know, significant contributors. But you'd be surprised. You look at the last 4 or 5 years, the draft has been slim pickings after five or six.
You got to do it right. And arguably, look, the best player in the league this year, potentially winning the MVP, is Giannis, and he was drafted 15th. And I looked at that draft. Best two picks in that particular draft, I think that was the Otto Porter draft, where Otto went three, were Giannis and Rudy Gobert. And Gobert was drafted 27th. So you just
have
to pick
the right
guy.
And what year was that, though? It was like 5 years ago?
2013.
Been a while, man.
I believe so. All right, Tony Massenburg joins us. We can get his take on it. Massenburg, of course, studio analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
So we were just talking about the fact that with the ninth pick, you can get a great player, but you just have to pick the right guy. Because often than not, particularly nowadays, there aren't guys like you that played 4 years of college. The guys end up being traded and are journeymen and aren't particularly stars.
That does happen. There is an art and a science to drafting players, and the science to it is that there is no real science. You have to do your research and figure out if the guy that you're drafting is the right piece for what it is that you're trying to do. And a lot of times, a guy's skill set may be applicable, but his personality or his work habits may not be. And so you have to take this into consideration, because it's one thing to draft talent, but it's another thing to develop that talent. And a lot of times you sometimes find diamonds in the rough, guys that don't necessarily jump off the board at you at the top of the lottery, but certainly guys that have the aptitude to be able to improve once they get into a setting. And you've got to be able to gauge how much improvement this guy is capable of.
Tony, I'm wondering, in your NBA career, you played on a lot of teams, you were around for a lot of years. Can you think of guys who were uber talented, drafted high, and didn't work out for whatever reason? And then maybe vice versa, the diamonds in the rough that were drafted late and then ended up becoming really good players?
I mean, again, I played with a lot of guys, and certainly I could throw some names out there. I don't really have one in particular that I can call right now. I've been in that situation so many times. I mean, we've seen number one picks in the draft not pan out. We've seen guys that came from the second round that end up being all-stars. And again, you know, you can get guys that are, you know, even a guy like Donovan Mitchell last year, as good as people thought he was going to be, nobody knew that he was going to be as impactful at the NBA level as early as he was. So, again, you know, you look at an organization like Utah, they've done a good job of drafting over the years, and they've gotten good players. You guys were talking about Rudy Gobert earlier, and you know, how far down he went and look at the player that he turns out to be. So it's all about picking players. I always reference the team that drafted me out of college, the San Antonio Spurs, because I think they've done the best job probably of anybody in the league of taking guys that nobody's ever heard of from places that nobody's ever heard of and literally turning those guys into productive NBA players. And so I think there is a real art to that, and it's just sort of a feel of the guy and what he's going to be able to bring into your organization. That's the having the foresight to see how the pieces fit what you're planning to do is really there really is a science.
So so last night when the Pelicans get the number one pick, obviously, you know, the Zion would be the guy. I mean, unless they're going to trade that pick to another team for a superstar, but we would assume that they would take Zion. You know, the lottery is just so crazy with these numbers. You know, they had a 3%, 4% chance of getting the number one pick. Memphis didn't have a very good percentage of getting the two. The three teams that had the best shot of getting the number one pick, you know, 14%, get 3, 5, and 6.
Right.
And not to say that those players can't be, you know, superstars, great players, but what was your reaction of just how the lottery worked out last night?
Honestly, I was a little disappointed. I'm a guy that I've never – you know, really bought into the conspiracy theory about the lottery. I mean, I played for 15 years, so, you know, maybe my opinion's a little bit biased, but I just never really bought into that. And, but having said that, last night I was hoping to see, because I like to see the NBA do well. And the NBA does its best when there are relevant teams in New York and LA in particular, along with Chicago. The two biggest markets teams are the teams that are struggling right now. And it would have been nice to see the hoopla that would have went with seeing Zion go to New York, because the Knicks have struggled so much over the years. It would have been nice to see him potentially paired up with LeBron James in L.A. and maybe a resurgence there. But to see him picks 1 and 2 go to small markets, two of the smallest markets in the league, I guess really dispels the whole conspiracy rumor. Because trust me when I tell you, when Zion Williams ends up in New Orleans and Ja Morant ends up in Memphis, that's great for those organizations, but it's not what would be the best for the overall brand of promoting the NBA. So, but that's how you know things are done fair. It gives the teams now that are in the middle as good a chance as the teams on the bottom, and that should certainly alleviate the tank wars that we've seen over the years.
Yeah. Why do you think it's taken so long for the Wizards to announce a GM? Is it simply the fact that they're interested in people who work for the final four teams and they have to wait until those series are over?
I think they're doing a thorough search, and that could be part of it. But I think at this point they had Ernie Grunfeld for a very long time, and so they want to make sure that they get this right. And in the process of getting it right, you're going to exhaust all your available options and maybe even take your time and wait out a few people, like you said, until the season ends to see who's actually a viable candidate. They may have their eyes on someone who's still active playoff-wise, so you're going to have to wait until, like I said, you've exhausted all options. I'm sure they have somebody designated, and then if they don't get that person, they probably have somebody designated after that. And so you have to wait for all of that to sort of play out.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Tony Massenburg, Wizards studio analyst for NBC Sports Washington, has a book, Lessons from Lenny, they did with Walt Williams. What are the positives to take away from the Wizards season? Because the fan base beaten down, a lot of people weren't even following the Wizards at the end of the season. They lose John Wall. What are the positives, though, to take away moving forward?
There's plural positives?
I don't know. Getting Tony's take.
Well, let's just say this when you talk about the positives. When you've had a year like the Wizards had with the injuries and the trades and obviously just sort of retooling the roster in general over the course of the summer, the positives are that, you know, you don't know what the future brings. It could land you, you know, you might be able to make some moves that you didn't foresee. And you're hoping that you get Bradley Beal back at a high level like he's been the last couple of years, and you hope that somebody looks at this team, expected free agent, knowing that they don't have a lot of cap space, but maybe wants to come in and make a mark. A lot of times players find themselves in situations where everybody can't get to a playoff contender, and you just want to get into a city that's a good market city, which D.C. is, and you want to play with a good franchise player like Bradley Beal. And obviously John Wall is going to be coming back into the mix, but he's probably at least a year off. You won't see him next year. And so that gives, you know, that means that there's opportunity for somebody here to be paired with Bradley Beal and be a significant part of what the Wizards are trying to do moving forward, if they're willing to make that move to D.C.
All right, Tony, appreciate the time as always. Tony Massenburg.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony. I almost forgot. So
have a good week.
They did retool the roster, and they have to make decisions on Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis.
Right.
Yeah, the team may be completely different.
Yeah, there's going to be five or six.
Yeah, plus with a new GM coming in, he might hate both of those guys and not want to sign the big fat deals.
Here's the positive. I believe he signed his player option. Dwight Howard's coming back.
Well, the curse of Ernie lives on.
He's definitely coming back.
Ernie's parting shot. Yeah. Is it?
Why would he turn that money
Dwight
down?
Howard gets to re-up and sit on the bench
for another season. What's his money? Like $6 million?
It's not a ton. It's like $6 million, but still.
$6 million.
It's $6 million could go elsewhere on your roster.
It was only a 9% chance, but I remember I was leaving here yesterday. I was listening to Grant and Danny, and they were talking about how the shows would just be totally different for a month or two.
Yeah.
If they had landed Zion Williamson.
It kind of would replace what we would have had if the Caps had advanced one more round.
Right.
Man, well, the draft is so bad.
Couldn't get
either. Last year's draft, after the ninth pick, one player averaged double digits. One player.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, they're coming up next.
Boom.
Right here on The Fan.
PGA.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.